All right, so let's jump into something that I know a lot of you have been asking about. Zero Trust Architecture, that's ZTA, versus Zero Trust Network Access, or ZTNA. They sound pretty similar, and they're both kind of trendy in cybersecurity these days. But what's the real difference? And can we do it in under 10 minutes?
Well, that's a great question. And yeah, it's a really important one because that old school castle and moat security just doesn't work anymore. We can't just guard the perimeter, especially with everything moving to the cloud and everyone working remotely. It's just everything's talking to everything else now.
Yeah, it's kind of like trying to protect a city with just one wall. You need security everywhere. So is that where this whole zero trust idea comes in? You know, this never trust, always verify thing?
Yeah, that's the foundation. That's the core idea. The thing is, both ZTA and ZTNA are based on that principle, and that's where people start to get confused.
Okay, so let's untangle this a little bit. If I'm a company and I'm trying to revamp my security, which one am I actually like implementing?
Okay, well, think of it this way. ZTA is the big picture strategy. It's the whole philosophy for how you design your security. It's like if you're building a city on the zero trust idea, ZTA would be the blueprint.
So ZKA isn't a specific product that you buy. It's more of a set of guidelines. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. It's how you build that secure ecosystem. And ZTNA, that's one of the tools you'd use within that ecosystem. It's focused specifically on controlling access to applications and data, which is really important now with cloud services and remote work.
Okay, so to stick with that city analogy, if ZTA is the city plan, then ZTNA is like the high-tech security system on a specific building in that city. Like you still need the overall city plan, but ZTNA is that extra layer of protection.
That's a really good way to think about it. And in a zero trust world, you need both.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, I keep hearing about these pillars of ZTA. It sounds kind of almost biblical.
Well, it's not quite that dramatic, but they are the foundational elements, the core ideas that make ZTA work. There are five of them, and the first one is identity management. And the key concept there is least privilege access.
So it's not just about verifying who you are, but it's about making sure you can only access what you absolutely need.
Exactly. You only get the keys to what you need to do your job.
That seems pretty fundamental. What's the next pillar?
The next one is device integrity. You can't have any rogue laptops or compromised phones just wandering onto the network.
Yeah, it makes sense. Every device needs a security checkup before it's allowed in. What else is there?
All right, so then there's network segmentation. Think of it like dividing the city into different zones, each with its own level of security. So if one zone gets breached, the damage is contained.
Okay, so we've got identity, devices, and segmentation. I'm starting to see how these layers all build on each other. What are the last two?
Okay, so the next one is applications and workloads. This is about building security into the software itself using things like multi-factor authentication and granular permissions. And finally, we have data security. This is all about protecting the information itself through encryption, access controls, and constant monitoring.
So it's like having a security guard at every level, from the city gates down to the filing cabinets in each building.
Yeah, precisely. And that's what makes ZTA so powerful. It's that comprehensive approach to security.
All right, but if ZTA is so great, why do we even need ZTNA? Does that just add more complexity?
Well, ZTNA is about adding that granular control over how people access specific resources. This is especially important in remote or cloud environments. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have a remote worker logging in from, well, who knows where. With a traditional VPN, they get access to the whole network, which can be really dangerous if their device is compromised.
Ah, so it's like giving everyone a master key. Even if you verify who they are, they still have the keys to the kingdom.
Exactly. ZTNA flips that model on its head. It only grants them access to the specific applications they need.
So it's like giving them a key card that only unlocks their office in the break room, but not the executive suite or the server room.
That's a great analogy. And because ZTNA operates at the application level, it can enforce much stricter security policies, like continuous authentication or device posture checks.
So even if they're in the break room, you're still making sure they haven't, you know, brought in a rogue coffee machine or something.
Exactly. And that kind of granular control is essential for compliance with regulations like HIPAA in healthcare or GDPR for data privacy.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this works in the real world, but can you give me a specific example of how ZTA and ZTNA work together?
Sure, let's imagine a financial institution. They handle incredibly sensitive data, so security is paramount. They might implement ZTA as their overarching security framework.
So they're building their entire security posture on that never trust, always verify principle.
Yeah. Right. Now, let's say they have a team of financial analysts who need to access a specific financial modeling application in the cloud. This is where ZTNA comes in.
Ah, so ZTNA acts like that extra layer of security, making sure that only those authorized analysts can access that particular application.
Exactly. Even if their device is compromised, the attacker wouldn't be able to access anything else on the network because ZTNA has ring-fenced that application.
So that's where the network access part really comes in. It's not just about who the user is. It's about how they connect and what they can access once they're in.
Precisely. And here's where things get really interesting. ZTNA can also leverage contextual information to make even smarter access decisions.
Contextual information, like what?
Well, things like the user's location, the time of day, the device they're using, even their recent activity patterns. Let's say that one of those financial analysts typically logs in from their office in New York during business hours.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But then, suddenly, there's a login attempt from a device in, say, Russia at 3 a.m. ZTNA can flag that as suspicious and either block the access or require additional authentication.
So it's like having a security guard who knows the analyst's routine and can spot anything unusual.
Exactly. It adds a whole other level of protection. And as AI and machine learning continue to evolve, ZTNA will become even more sophisticated in its ability to analyze these contextual clues and make real-time security decisions.
That's pretty impressive. But let's be realistic, nothing is perfect. What are some of the challenges or limitations of ZTA and ZTNA? I mean, if they're so great, why isn't everyone already using them?
Well, first of all, implementing ZTA can be pretty complex. It requires a major shift in mindset, a deep understanding of how your organization's systems and data flow work, and a willingness to invest in the right technologies and expertise.
So it's not just about buying a new firewall or installing some software. It's really about rethinking your entire approach to security.
Exactly. And there can be cultural hurdles to overcome, too. People are used to having relatively free access to resources on the network.
Yeah, they might not be happy when you start locking things down and implementing those least privileged policies.
That's right. Change management is a crucial part of any successful ZTA implementation. You need buy-in from everyone, from the IT team to the end users.
Okay, that makes sense. What about ZTNA specifically? Are there any limitations there?
One challenge is making sure it's compatible with all your applications. Not every app is designed to work seamlessly with ZTNA solutions, especially older legacy applications.
Ah, so you might need to do some tweaking or find some workarounds to make everything play nice together.
Yeah, that's right. And as with any security solution, ZTNA can add some overhead to your network traffic.
So you need to make sure your network infrastructure can handle the extra load without slowing everything down.
Precisely. But the good news is that ZTNA technology is constantly evolving, and a lot of vendors are working to address these challenges. We're seeing more and more solutions that are easier to implement, more compatible with different applications, and less resource intensive.
That's good to hear. So it sounds like ZTA and ZTNA are powerful tools for cybersecurity, but they're not magic solutions.
That's right. They require careful planning, ongoing management, and a commitment to continuous improvement.